boldly declare that I have eyes to see, I have ears to hear, and my heart is open and receptive to the truth of God's Word. And I'll not only be a hearer, but I'll be a doer. I'll be a doer. I'll be a doer of the Word of God. As I do, I know I will be blessed. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going in a little new direction tonight. Open up, please, to the book of Proverbs. How many like to read the Proverbs? You know, one of the neat things about the Proverbs is it's in 31 chapters. So, you know, in your Bible reading, you can read a chapter a day. It really is awesome. You know, and then, of course, when you have 28 days, then you just read a couple extras or whatever. But Proverbs 4, verse 7 in the King James, he says something very interesting. He says, wisdom is the principal thing. Say wisdom. He says, therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get what? Understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Now, what does it mean by the principal thing? He's saying here that wisdom is the most important thing. It's the most fundamental, the most foundational thing is to what? Get wisdom. Say, get wisdom. So, praise God, this must be something the Lord wants us to have and something that we can have. Is that correct? Yes. But the responsibility of getting it lies with us. Is that right? Amen. And then he goes on and he says, along with this most principal thing, which is wisdom, along with that very fundamental thing, get understanding. Two, get comprehension. Be able to apprehend and grasp and comprehend what is important. Hallelujah. What's being said? Amen? So really what the Spirit's saying to us tonight is that the most important thing, the most fundamental, foundational item in your life and in my life is to get wisdom and to get understanding. Is that right? Hallelujah. We need godly wisdom. We need godly understanding, right? Now, go with me over to chapter 11, just a couple chapters over. And let's look at a scripture that maybe we have not seen in the actual light that we really should see it in. Proverbs 11, verse 30. Now, remember, he said wisdom is the principal thing. Is that right? So, therefore what? Get wisdom, okay? And with getting all the wisdom, get understanding. And then in Proverbs 11, 30 says this, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is what? Is wise. Is wise. He that wins souls is wise. What's the principal thing? Wisdom. He who wins souls is what? Wise. See, we probably haven't seen this. The Amplified says it like this. The fruit of the consistently righteous is a tree of life, and he who is wise, there it is again. What about wisdom again? It's the principal thing. He who wants to be wise captures and wins souls for God. He gathers them for eternity. Hallelujah. The Living Bible says it like this. Godly men are growing a tree that bears life-giving fruit, and all who win souls is wise. All who win souls is wise. Amen? So what have we just discovered in just 5 minutes? That we've discovered if we're going to be wise in the eyes of God, and he said wisdom is the principal thing, right? Therefore, get wisdom, and with all you're getting, get understanding, right? We just discovered now that if we're going to be wise in the eyes of God, we're going to have to bear fruit as the righteousness of God, that there should be life-giving fruit coming out of each and every one of us, right? That's conferring life to people that don't have life. Come on, somebody. To say it more bluntly, each and every one of us should be leading people into a relationship with God on a regular basis. We haven't really preached a lot about that, have we? We haven't heard a lot about that. See, it's not just the fivefold ministry. It's not just for those who, you know, we would say are naturally outgoing or more gregarious or have the gift of gab. No, every single one of us, say every single one of us, should be leading people to the Lord as a daily activity in our life. It should be as natural as getting up in the morning and the air that you breathe. Now, what did we start with today? What did we talk about? What's the principal thing? Wisdom. And to be wise in the eyes of God, we just saw in 11, what did he say? Those who win souls are wise. Amen? Do you see the connection? I don't think we've ever looked at it in that frame of mind, if you might say it that way. Now, what has happened, though, as I thought about this week, is that the enemy has come along and he's put fear in people's hearts about witnessing about Jesus. He's put fear of what people might think about me, what they might say about me. Oh, he's one of those Jesus freaks, whatever. And it might not be politically correct to witness to people of other faiths. It might not be politically correct if I invite somebody to church. They won't want to go. All kinds of lies from the enemy. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Did you know? This has been statistically proven that 8 out of 10 people, when asked if you would go to church if someone invited you, 8 out of 10 said, yes, I would. But most people don't invite. I'm telling you, if you go to Vegas, and I'm not a gambler, and I don't recommend you become a gambler, 8 out of 10 would break the bank. Amen? Those are great odds. What would a person in baseball that batted 800 as an average? They would be a billionaire, wouldn't they? But what has there been? Who's a baseball fan here? How many people in the history of baseball have a career 400 batting average? Two people? One people? One person? Less than five. We're talking 8 out of 10. Right? Hallelujah. But see, we're afraid. The enemy's put fear in our, well, what will they think of me? What will they think of my church? What will they get anything out of it? I'm telling you, once they get here, guess what? It is not your responsibility of what they get or what they don't get. It is, the rest is all up to the Holy Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes. But I'm telling you, this fear, it's not only in people, the regular people, it's in many pastors of churches. Fear of what people are going to think. Very reason that pastors don't want the gifts of the Holy Spirit in operation in their services. They don't want people praying in tongues. They don't want people having hands laid on and possibly falling over. No, we don't want to chase people away. Amen? Hallelujah. Because after all, if we chase people away, how in the world are we going to pay the mortgage? You see that? That's why we need a debt-free church. Right? Who cares if you give? I'm just going to give you the word. You'll never have to give in this church. Right? All I'm going to do is show you the word. Then it's up to you whether you begin to give or not, right? So what do they do? They tickle their ears. We try not to offend them. With some overt move of the Spirit, praise God. And for goodness sakes, let's not pray in tongues, because they would think we're pretty crazy. And God forbid somebody should get their hands laid on and they should fall over in the Spirit. Oof. Oof. Let's not be too radical, folks. Let's not chase people away. Let's just sugarcoat them and give them what they want to hear. Not in this church. Amen? But see, what has happened is we've completely missed the fact that the girl in the back row with the purple hair, sitting next to the guy with the tattoos and all the piercings, the supernatural is exactly what they came to church to see. That's what they're looking for. The supernatural. Is that right? Hallelujah. Several months back, a pastor friend of mine, the Holy Spirit spoke to him and he said this, and this was really sobering to me when I heard it. He says, I want my church back. I want my church back. Well, what does that mean? Just read the book of Acts. That's what the early church should be. That's what this church should be. Every church should be, right? The book of Acts is the one book that doesn't have an ending. We're still living in the book of Acts, right? So all those things may be okay in the wisdom of man, but they're not okay in the wisdom of God. Amen? Hallelujah. And so, you know, as most of you know, here at Faith Life Fellowship, we are doing the best we know to allow God back in the church. Can I hear an amen? God is welcome in this place. It's His church. It's His service. He can do what He wants, when He wants, how He wants. Amen? Hallelujah. So, you know, we're believing, we're speaking and declaring that 2015 and the years following are the year of visitations, manifestations, and demonstrations of the Holy Spirit. Right? The home of signs and miracles and wonders. The supernatural, say this, supernatural in operation. Hallelujah. And to do that, guess what? God needs you. God needs every member of His church walking in the supernatural every single day, not just on Saturday nights. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And see, it's easier than most people think. And I'm going to show you in just a minute. I'm going to prove it to you. But the problem comes in when many people tend to confuse the spectacular with the supernatural. Do you understand? You know what I'm saying? See, the supernatural is not always spectacular. And the spectacular is not always supernatural. You have to be careful. The greatest miracle known to man on the face of this earth is what? The regeneration of the human spirit and soul. But yet, is the event a spectacular event in most cases? Absolutely not. You lead somebody to the Lord, you have just witnessed the greatest miracle known to man, but yet it's not spectacular. Do you see what I'm saying? So we can walk in the supernatural and not have the spectacular. Hallelujah. See, but this is what God wants. Let me rephrase it. God needs you to become, watch this, a participant in the supernatural. And that is the title of my message today, a participant in the supernatural. How do we do that? Well, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's look at this. How many like to become a participant in the supernatural God? I got both hands up. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, first of all, what do we know about a man? What is the makeup of a human being? What is their real makeup like? They are a spirit, right? That has a soul that lives in a body. Is that correct? And so with our physical body, we contact the physical natural realm that we live in, right? With our souls, we contact the mental and the intellectual and the emotional realms. And with the spirit, which is the real you or the real me, the real man, or we call it our inner man, is how we contact God and how God contacts us. Amen? You don't have to turn there. Put it up on the screen for me. Proverbs 20, verse 27. He says, the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord. If we were writing in this day and age, I think we'd write, the spirit of the Lord is a light bulb of the Lord. In other words, that's how He turns you on, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So when we talk about soul winning, we're talking about people getting their spirits reborn or recreated, that inner man. Amen? Let me read it out of the Living Bible. It says, when someone becomes a Christian, this is 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, when someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He is not the same anymore. A new life has begun. Hallelujah. And see, this is important for many reasons, one of which is that to understand God, you can only understand God through His Word and through your spirit, not through your flesh and not through your emotion, your mind, your intellect, or your emotions, right? Turn with me to chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Say amen when you're there. Look at verse 14. He says, but the natural, non-spiritual man does not accept or welcome or admit into his heart the gifts and teachings and revelations of the Spirit of God. Why? For their folly, meaningless nonsense to him. He is incapable, did you catch that? He's incapable of knowing them, of progressively recognizing, understanding, and becoming better acquainted with them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned and estimated and appreciated. See, people who aren't spiritual, who aren't born again, cannot receive truth from the Spirit of God. They cannot. It is impossible. Okay? Are we understanding that? Point here. Why? It's foolishness to them. They can't understand it. Because it says right here, only a spiritual man can receive and understand spiritual things. So my question to you this evening is, how long has the church, and I'm not talking about this church, but you know, the church in its entirety, how long has the church appealed to the unsaved by speaking to the soul realm or to the fleshly realm instead of speaking to the spiritual realm? And you're going to see what I'm asking here. One of the things I was taught early as a Christian was that because I'm a Christian and that I need to share my faith, and that was true, that the best way to do that is to share your personal testimony. Everybody has a personal testimony, is that right? If I were to have you come up here and grab the microphone, tell us your personal testimony, how you came to know the Lord, each and every one of you would have a story, and each one would be different. Is that right? So I was taught that a personal testimony is just that. It's your personal testimony. No one can argue with it, right? Your personal testimony, no one can argue with it. But, you know, if you say, well, you know, before I met God, I was like this, and I was like that, and I used to do this, and I used to do that, and I used to go here and do that. But after I got saved, I got delivered from all of that. And of course, maybe that's all true. Praise God, okay? There's nothing wrong with that. But what if the person that you're witnessing to hasn't done half of the things that you just told them about? They're going, oh my God, that guy was really messed up. I haven't done half the things that guy's done. So what good is his personal testimony going to be to do to somebody that can't relate to three-quarters of the things that this person just said they got delivered from? Man, they're going to think, man, compared to me, I'm not bad compared to that guy. I'm not into half the things that he was doing. Do you see what I'm talking about? But see, what are we doing when we use that kind of approach to share our faith? We're appealing to their soul realm. We're appealing to their emotional realm. We're appealing to their physical realm. But nothing that we've said has gone directly to their spirit. Do you see what I'm saying? So no wonder that we've been ineffective as a whole because we've been using the wrong approach. Come on, somebody. Jesus said that the words that I speak, John 6:63, I think. Put that up. Actually, on the screen. Can you find that? King James is fine. He says, the words that I speak, they're spirit and they're what? Life, Zoe. The words that he, what? Speaks. Their spirit, it's the spirit that quickens, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, their spirit and their life. In other words, it's the spirit, quickeneth is just an old English word that means gives life. It brings alive. So it's the spirit that brings alive. The flesh profits what? Nothing. And what have we been doing? Sharing our personal testimony. Now, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with sharing your testimony to encourage somebody. That's okay. But I'm telling you, if you're expecting your personal testimony to get them born again, you better think twice because it's not going to happen in most cases. Okay? That's what I'm saying to you. All right. Hallelujah. So, to make sense of this whole thing, we need to speak words of the Spirit that are speaking life to a person if we expect them to get born again. Is that right? Are you there? Turn over to Isaiah 55. My words I speak are spirit in their life. Now, Isaiah 55, verse 8. Many people read this first verse 8 and they stop right there. And they see, this is why I don't do it. No, he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Well, that's wonderful. But he didn't say that you can't know his thoughts and that you can't know his ways, did he? He just says that in the natural, that's not, you don't, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. But once we become born again, what does the Bible say about the mind that we have now? We now have the mind of Christ. So that means we can know his thoughts and we can know his ways. Amen? Hallelujah. That means that our thoughts now need to become conformed to his thoughts and our ways need to be conformed to his ways. Amen? So what I'm saying to you is if you want to become a participant in the supernatural, if you want to be effective, then we must find out what God's thoughts are and what God's ways are. Amen? Well, that's why he gave us this thing called the Bible. How many are reading through the Bible? Keep reading. We're coming up on the end of the year, right? It's because this is a revelation of his thoughts and his ways. Right here. Amen? Keep reading. Verse 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So now then, in verse 10, now he begins to give us a natural explanation, a physical comparison, so that we can understand what he's saying. So he says, for as the rain and the snow come down from the heavens and return not there again, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and sprout, that he may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, amen. He does this for what? For a specific purpose. Why? He says, so shall my word be. Now he goes from the natural explanation to the spiritual explanation. He says, the same way the rain and snow come down, feed and water the earth and bring up vegetation, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return void either. Just like the rain and the snow, it won't return void without producing any effect or uses, but it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Hallelujah. So we can conclude that the words that God sends forth must be words that are sent forth for a specific reason. Is that right? Okay. So the word that God has sent out has been sent out for a particular purpose, and it's not going to come back to him until it has accomplished that particular purpose. Do you see this? Okay? So we have, again, the word of God is not just any word. It's not the word of man, right? But the word of God that lives and abides forever. You know, 1 Peter 2:23 maybe. But God's word is his power, right? And that power, that word, will cause faith to come. It causes fruit to come. It has the power to change and to reform. Is that right? So let's turn over now. Turn with that in thought, turn over to Romans chapter 10. We're going to look at verse 17, which we all know. But sometimes we tend to isolate this verse and see what the really complete thought was. And we're going to do that here in just a minute. But we're going to start with just this, verse 17. He says, so then faith comes, how? By hearing. And hearing by the word of God. How does faith come? By hearing the word of God. Not your opinions, not your experiences, and certainly not your testimony. Right? Are you seeing what I'm saying here? Now, don't misunderstand me. Testimonies are important. Why are they important? Revelation says we overcome the evil one. How? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. But who overcomes? You overcome, not the person you're testifying to. Is that right? Come on, we're sharing the word. We overcome how? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We overcome. Not somebody that we're trying to get saved, right? Does faith come when you share your testimony? No. Does faith come when you share your experiences? Does faith come when you share your opinions? The answer is no to all three questions. Now again, certainly all those things bring encouragement. Encouragement is important. We need to encourage people. But we're talking about getting someone born again tonight. We're talking about the condition of a dead spirit within a human being that's in the inside of them. So tell me what happens when someone hears the word being taught, the word being read, the word being shared, the word being proclaimed. What happens? Faith comes. Is that right? Does it say only to the believer? No, it does not. What happens? That word goes straight to the heart or straight to the spirit. Goes straight to what the Bible calls the pneuma, right, in the Greek. And that faith begins to come to that person, even though that person might not recognize it at the moment. This is important here. So what am I saying to you? If we're going to have impact on people's lives, if we're going to see their lives totally transformed and changed by becoming born again, we're going to have to share the word and not our testimony, not our experiences, and not our opinions. Can I hear an amen? Hallelujah. And this is why I'm so fond of the very simple yet effective approach that Brother Riley Stevenson from Kent, he's director of evangelism at Kenneth Copeland Ministries. He's developed and used it so effectively, he has seen literally thousands and thousands and thousands of people being born again by what I'm going to share with you in just a few minutes. Amen? In fact, how many were here when he visited our church? It was 2-3 years ago. An awesome, awesome man of God. So what I'm going to do with the time we have left, I'm going to take you through the process, okay? And I'm going to help equip you so that when you leave here tonight, you're going to be able to become and be a participant in the supernatural. How did we start our evening? Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with it, get understanding, right? And then we followed it by, he who wins souls is what? Wise. We're going to leave here wise tonight. So turn with me. You're already in Romans. Turn to the 3rd chapter. I want you to mark these verses in your Bibles, please, as you go, however you want to do it. Romans 3, verse 23. In the King James, he says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen? All have sinned. You've sinned, I've sinned, we've all sinned. No exceptions, is that correct? So the very first point we make to somebody, we've all sinned. Now let me ask you a question here. When I say that to a person, am I appealing to their human understanding and reasoning? Or am I speaking to something deeper? What did we just say? The words that Jesus speaks, they're what? Spirit and life. Faith comes how? By hearing the word. So when I speak the word to somebody, what's beginning to happen? What part of them am I appealing to? I'm appealing to their spirit. Amen? Now they may be trying to make sense of it in a rational human understanding. That's okay. But you and I realize that when we speak the word, it goes deeper, much farther into somebody than they even realize at the moment, right? Okay, so the word that we speak is directly speaking to their spirit, whether they realize it or not. This is very important. What's the scripture again? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen? All right, next scripture, chapter 6, verse 23. Again, I want you to mark Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, it's important to understand that a wage is something that's owed to you. Is that right? You go to work for a particular company, you're there all week, but at the end of the week, they owe you a wage for the time and the energy that you spent on their behalf. They don't ask you if you would like to have it. They owe it to you. Is that correct? So the point I'm making is every person in the earth has a wage that's coming to them. They have a wage that's owed to them. The wage is death because of sin. All right? But the good news is that in spite of the wages of death that we all deserve, the gift of God is eternal life. Praise God. We've all sinned, right? The wages of the sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Okay, third and last scripture. Go to Romans 10. Verse 13. Again, please mark this in your Bible. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever shall call upon the Lord, anyone and everyone that calls shall be saved. Is that right? See, faith, watch this, faith comes to understand that all have sinned. Faith comes to understand that all have sinned and that the wages of that sin is death. That's what faith brings. Faith comes to understand that the gift of God is eternal life. Faith comes to understand that whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So what am I saying to you? Whether they realize it or not, whether you realize it or not, faith is growing on the inside of them because they're hearing the word. Is that right? So don't be moved by what you see. Don't be moved by what you hear. Let the word of God move you into a place of faith. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 1:12, you don't have to turn there. He says, for I will hasten my word to perform it. God is going to perform his word, right? That's what it was sent to do. It'll do a job and it'll take care of business, right? And we have to remember, this is God's idea. Not Pastor Chris, not your idea. God loved the world so much that he what? That he sent his only son to die on the cross. Riley, he wrote a book called I Sent You to Reap. He wrote, let me just quote him. He says, as reapers sent out into the harvest fields of the world, our neighborhoods, our communities, our cities and states and nations, we must never underestimate the Spirit-inspired, Spirit-backed power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. Amen? What's some word, the words of God. So now that we've heard these three scriptures separately, let's put them all together and let's begin to see tonight something that we have not seen. So you're in chapter 10, right? Back up to verse 13. He says, for whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel and bring glad tidings of good things. But they've not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So now we got a little bit more of an understanding on verse 17. Are some going to reject it? Absolutely. We just saw it in verse 16. But at the very deepest part of an individual is their spirit crying out for God. Amen? And so this process that God has given to Riley and really to the church, it's so simple that if we just will stick to the script that he's put together for us, you'll see fruit in your life that you had never even dreamed of. So let's look at it for just a minute here. Let me get a card here. So let's say you're at the grocery store. You're wherever, you're out shopping or whatever you think. So here's the process. So you run into somebody and you say, you know, probably maybe somebody you don't even know. It could be somebody you know, it could be somebody you don't know. So let's say it's somebody you don't know. Somebody's waiting on you and they're helping you, you know, find some clothes or something. You're about done with your transactions. Katie, can I ask you a question? She says, yeah, she's, you know, do you live in the area? And she goes, oh, yeah, I just live right here. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, really? Do you go to church anywhere? Well, what are the answers going to be? Yes or no, right? Now, so but the answer doesn't really matter. You say, well, that's great, but let me ask you another question. And I'm not saying that this is going to happen to you, but if you were to die tonight, do you know where you would go? Now, that's a really interesting question. And so at this point, most likely people are going to give you one of three answers, and they could be variations of that, but there are only three answers, right? Well, yes, I will go to heaven, right? Okay, wonderful. Well, yes, I think I'm probably going to go to hell. I've had people say that. Yes, I'll go to hell. Or, you know, I'm not really sure where I'd go. So some variation of those three answers is what you're going to get. So here's what happens. So let's say that they say, well, I'm going to go to heaven. So when they say, I'm going to go to heaven, then you go to this next question. Okay, wonderful. When you get there, if God should ask you, Kathy, why should I let you in? What would you say to him? And just listen to their answer. Okay? And so after she finishes, you say, well, let me tell you what the Bible says. Romans 3 says, all have sinned. Romans 6 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Romans 10 says, for all who call on the Lord will be saved. Here, grab my hand, pray this prayer with me. Okay. Heavenly Father, I thank you that Jesus died on the cross for me and rose again. I give you my life. I want Jesus Christ to come into my heart and life. Amen. Praise God, Katie, you just got born again. Here's the card. If you have a church, you need to get a church and you need to get a Bible. See how easy that is. Now you say, well, how do you know she really got born again? Faith comes how? And hearing what? Did you speak the word? See the difference. That's how easy this is. So you just pray with them. See, the reason that we have these little pocket cards, and we're going to hand them out tonight to you, the reason that Riley tells you to stick to the pocket card and to the scriptures that are written on it, because you don't want to get sidetracked quoting too many scriptures. You don't want to get sidetracked with having a debate. Once faith comes, you need to act immediately. Will some reject it? Yes, they will. Will everyone pray with you? No, they won't. But one thing that you do know, you've sown a seed in the heart of that individual. And that seed will grow. Because that's God's heart. Right? I don't care how tough they are. I don't care how dirty, scoundrel, you know, whatever they look like. But you want to act as quickly as faith comes. So you don't ask them if they're ready to pray. Why? Because the eternal, unchanging, incorruptible word of God was just injected into their spirit. So you want to act while it's still there. You want to act while there's some faith being built in that spirit. So don't be discouraged if they won't pray with you. You've injected the word into their God, into their spirit, and that word is going to continue to work. Amen? The word does the work. The word gets the glory. But if you'll practice this at home, it won't take very long until you're proficient with it. So, you know, what you're going to do is that every time you leave home, you need to take this pocket card with you, and if you'll be faithful to ask, Lord, in my whatever I'm doing today, if you want to bring somebody across my path that you want me to witness to, I will be faithful to do it. You just show me. See, again, it's important to be spirit-led. I'm not saying that you just stop everybody on the street and just do your thing. I mean, you could do that, but we need to be led by the Spirit of God. Amen? Hallelujah. In fact, I was with dinner the other night with a couple, and I was all prepared to do this. And the Lord said, no, he's too busy. You don't want to do it in this restaurant. It's not, now's not the time. I was led by the Spirit. I was fully ready to do this. Amen. So, you know, restaurants, you know, you have to, again, be led by the Spirit because, you know, they're there trying to make money. You know, they've got a lot of, but this doesn't take very long. So let me go through it again. So do you live in the area? So they're going to ask you a question. Do you go to church in the area? Yes or no? It's either yes or no, right? Well, let me ask you, if you died right now, do you know where you would go? And so, yes, I'd go to heaven. I'll probably go to hell. No, I don't know where I'd go. Well, let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says, Romans 3 says all of sin. Romans 6 says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And Romans 10 says everyone who calls upon the Lord will be saved. Jojo, just pray with me here. Say this after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe Jesus died on the cross and rose again for me. I give you my life. I want Jesus Christ in my heart and in my life. Amen. Congratulations, Jojo. You just got born again. Now, here's a card. This is our church, but you know you need to get a Bible and you get a church and, you know, whatever. But just be led from that. But one of the things you don't want to get in is that they don't pray with you. You don't want to get into a discussion. You don't want to get into a debate. You just say, thank you, bless you. You know, I've got to go. But we love you. God loves you. You know, debating will get you nowhere. Okay? That's how important it is. But if they say, well, I would go to heaven, then you take a little shortcut before you get to the prayer and say, okay, well, if you're going to heaven, so when you get there, what will you tell God? What's your reason that he should let you in? And they're going to tell you, and if they say, well, because I'm born again, I call on God, blah, blah, you know, I've got Jesus in my heart. Hey, praise God, sister, brother, you know, you're born again. Well, praise God. Let me just pray for you. What do you need right now? And you just pray for him. But most times they're going to give you, well, you know, I'm a really good person. I really don't do anything bad. And how could God keep a good person out of heaven? What are you going to do? Romans 3 says all of sin. Romans 6 says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Romans 10 says all who call upon the Lord will be saved. Here, pray with me. It's that easy. It's that easy. And it's all on this little card right here. This is, folks, this is operating in the supernatural. This is becoming a participant in the supernatural. Let's look at one more scripture. Turn over to John 4. John chapter 4, verse 35. I'm going to actually read it to you out of the New Living Translation. You can follow along on the screen or you can look in whatever translation you have. He says this, you know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest. But I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. What joy awaits the planter and the harvester alike? See, you could be a planter when you try and go through it. If they don't want to pray with you, you just became a planter. You weren't the harvester in this case. Somebody else down the road will be the harvester. What joy awaits the planter and the harvester? You know the saying, one plants and another harvests. And it's true. I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant. Others have already done the work, and now you'll get to gather the harvest. So most likely, if that person prays with you, somebody's already planted the seed in them long before you ever got to them, long before God ever brought them across your path. Amen? But the first thing I want you to remember is if they reject you, do not take it personally, right? If they rejected Jesus, will they reject you? Yes. We were in a business where we recruited lots and lots of people. And one of the first things they told us is the minute somebody said no to you, you know what you did? Next. Hey, would you like to? No. Next. Hey, would you? No. Next. You have nothing to lose. You've done your job, right? So don't take it personally. Hallelujah. The second thing to remember is don't ask people to pray. Well, would you pray with me? Oh, no, I'm not ready. Just sit here. Grab my hand, pray with me. If they don't want to pray, believe me, they won't pray. And you'll know. I'm just not ready for it. Well, that's okay. But I just want to tell you, God loves you and I do too. And I'm just going to pray that God reveals himself to you. Boom, go on your way. Don't get in the bait. Well, yeah, but I've seen this and people in the church do. Don't go there. You won't win, right? Don't debate. If they try and engage you in discussion, just politely remove yourself from it. Debating never wins souls. Never. And then fourthly, and I've seen this a lot, do not commit yourself to anything that you're not willing and able to do. I had this gentleman, he had a great heart, and he would pray for them, and then, you know, of course, it seemed like he always found somebody that was homeless or somebody that didn't have a car, and he wanted to go to church. So, you know, he said, well, I'll pick you up for church. And he got some phone number. He never calls him back, and he never picked him up. What kind of a testimony is that? I'm not saying you need to commit to any of that. But if you do commit yourself to something, you need to be a person of your word. If you tell him, I'm going to do this for you, then do it. But you don't have to commit it to anything. All right? That's what I'm trying to say to you, okay? So, our first scripture, wisdom is the, put that very first scripture up again, would you please? Wisdom is the principal thing, right? Therefore, get wisdom with all thy getting, get understanding. And then in Proverbs 11:30, he says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise.
This teaching has been brought to you today, free of charge, by the members and partners of Faith Life Fellowship. We would like to encourage you to help send this word to others at no charge. You can become a word sender today. For more information, please visit our website at faithlifedenver.org.